This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. We're going to talk just a little bit about these No Kings protests. Briefly, we're going to the fallout from it's not exactly what they should be. We'll touch a little bit more on city states, hostile foreign city states inside of our country. Young adults going back to church. A federal judge continues to act insane. Trump's going after Colombia. We'll talk about, well, emails, violent communists, all that and more coming up. And remember, half hour from now, I'm bringing on Will Chamberlain. I don't have a lot of guests on the show. I really just prefer to talk myself. But every now and then, I kind of feel like we need an expert on something. I'll bring in someone like Darby to talk about the military. Will Chamberlain's so good on law stuff. And I know you have questions the same way I have questions about these prosecutions. Like Brennan, the Brennan news from today. James Comey, John Bolton. How legit are these? Are they going to stick? And Will doesn't sugarcoat stuff. If it's something that's not going to stick or he's hesitant on, he'll say it. If it's something that he thinks is pretty cut and dry, he's going to say it. About a half hour from now, we'll find out who's going to burn. These people going to burn? They're all going to get off scot-free? 30 minutes from now, we'll bring in Will Chamberlain. All right. So there are some Democrat senators that are already worried about the fallout from the No Kings protests. It's guys like Angus King, John Fetterman, Catherine Cortez Masto, and others. They're already expressing concern for it. And there is this really, really fascinating thing happening right now where there are a few elected Democrats who see what is happening. Long established Democrats, not just elected ones. Chris, actually grab that hilarious, absolutely hilarious James Carville clip that we played. Grab that one again. But there are some Democrats who see what is happening and they're trying desperately to stop it. But they are being drowned out. They are being primaried. And it's wild to watch the left base, the communist base, insist on party-wide suicide. So let me explain. Barack Obama. How did a filthy communist like Barack Obama get elected twice in this country? Well, Barack Obama, as much of an America-hating savage as he is, Barack Obama campaigned like a moderate. He campaigned extremely moderately. If you actually listen, not what he did, not his upbringing, listen to what normies heard when Barack Obama was campaigning. They heard a guy who, let's all get there. We'll figure out how to make some money together. We'll all get along. He was really, really good at sounding moderate. He was not a moderate, but he was good at sounding that way. Now, what happens when you do that is you begin to grow a coalition of people. It takes a large coalition to get elected president. And we've talked about this before. Every party, ours included, has coalitions. You know, the coalition that elected Donald Trump, there are a lot of people who did so for inflation reasons. Hey, I can't afford things. Maybe that was you. A lot of people did it for deportations, border security. You got to get these foreigners out. But maybe that was you. Maybe you're more of a culture person. We got to get the tranny thing under control. Maybe it's health. There were a lot of moms, you know, the ones who wear Apple Watches, who are very concerned about the poison in the food. There's a large coalition of people. Every coalition thinks they're the most important part of the coalition, and they're always wrong. The coalition itself is what matters. It takes a coalition. Now, Democrats had a large coalition for a long time. Bill Clinton put together a huge coalition. Barack Obama put together a huge coalition. These older types and the types that are from redder states or purple states like Fetterman, they can see clearly, that Democrats have no coalition right now outside of communist freaks. The Democrat coalition, it really only consists of mentally ill young women, ridiculous fake black civil rights leaders who just hate white people, all the LGBTQ demon mob stuff, climate nutters and feminists, just the fringe freaks in society, and they have managed to push everyone else out. Normies are looking at this stuff now, and they're horrified by it. Remember, all right, Chris, you can play it now. James Carville. James Carville is kind of mocked now, but he does really the podcast circuit. I'm sure he's rich, probably just sits around drinking whiskey, does some podcasts. But James Carville was part of putting together a successful coalition. James Carville watched this little mini Democrat convention where they brought out this Indian woman to do a land acknowledgement. That said, land belongs to the tribes and stuff like that. And remember he went off on it? It's part of the board. But remember the whole soundbite? Here it was.
Why are you bringing this up in an election? Okay? What we did, but all kinds of things, with slavery, with experiment with drugs, what we did during the, what happened in the Confederacy during the Civil War, and Andersonville. And it's okay. This is an election, and the DNC is not the place to discuss this. Understand this. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It doesn't exist to acknowledge the more unpleasant parts of history. It doesn't exist to make people feel good. It exists, get this through your head, to win elections. Now, do you think that is going to help us win elections talking about land theft from the Dakotas? We're not. Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see where this has brought us to?
All right, stop. That's enough. The end part is you can feel it, can't you? You can feel his frustration, his exasperation. He's watching. This is probably not an ideological guy. Of course, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, but he's only interested in winning elections. And he's watching, he's on the outside looking in, watching as normies are being horrified by Democrats. And he's practically begging, don't you see? Why can't you see what this has brought us to? And he's done this before. Remember this?
And let me tell you another huge error this made is when people said campaigns need to reflect progressive values. No, they don't. Campaigns are authoritarian by their nature. If I were running a 2028 campaign and I had some little snot-nosed 23-year-old saying, I'm going to resign if you don't do this, not only would I fire that on the spot, I would find out who hired them and fire that person on the spot. I'm really not interested in your uninformed, stupid opinion as to whether you go on Joe Rogan or not. And there were people that worked in the White House that were protesting because they didn't like the president's policy in Gaza. Well, then get the fuck out of the White House.
You can feel the frustration. And the good news for you and the good news for me and the good news for the United States of America is these people, the old seasoned Democrats, and this includes the Fetterman types, because remember, Fetterman's been in politics forever, and I don't like Fetterman at all. I'm not like the other people on the right who fall in love with this guy because he says one smart thing every now and then. But the Fetterman types, the James Carville types, the guys who have been around a very long time, they are not only watching as the party pulls away from normal America completely, they are begging them to stop. Begging them to stop. And they watched that stupid No Kings protest, and guys like Fetterman and guys like Angus King, these older Democrats, you know what they watched? They watched all these Democrats on the street celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder. There wasn't one or two of them. We played you some audio of it last night. It wasn't one old lady here or one lady there. It wasn't just Big Chungus making the assassination shot in the neck sign. It was Democrat after Democrat after Democrat. And you know what the Fettermans, the Carvels, the Angus Kings of the world see? They see what normies see. They see a party that not only is out of step with normal Americans, looks violent. looks mean, looks miserable. I talked about this before. We've talked about it many times. You know what Donald Trump, you know what his rallies, what these boat parties, what these other things look like, even if they're not your thing. You know, I'm not a boat party guy either. It looks fun. Young people see 50 boats with MAGA flags on them in Florida, and you know what they think? I want to be part of that. That looks like a good time. Can I get on your boat? I like boats. What do you think they see when they see Big Chungus mocking Charlie Kirk getting murdered in Illinois? Do you think young people searching for what they believe, what they want to be part of, you think they see Chungus and say, man, I hope that's me? They don't. It's wonderful. Let's talk about Pure Talk real quick. You see, corporate America has been funding this filth for a very, very, very long time. A very long time. Funding it. These communists infiltrated corporate America and intimidated corporate America into writing large checks to communist street groups who took a dump all over this country. Are you angry with the condition of big cities right now? Cities like Minneapolis are at about half strength on the police force. You know why? Because no cop wants to sign up to go to prison if they do their job. You know why? Because the George Floyd protests were extremely successful. You know why? Because it had corporate funding. Did you fund it? Do you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? Did you fund it? Are you still funding it? I have Pure Talk. I pay less. I'm on the same towers. My organization, my cell phone company, they're giving dogs to veterans with PTSD. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email me your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to get to a bunch of those for the rest of the show, I swear. I wanted to touch on this real quick. Headline, young adults lead a resurgence in church attendance. That Charlie Kirk assassination, it moved young people more than it moved any other demographic in this country. They saw Charlie Kirk as being one of them, caring about them, listening to them, and watching him die on camera moved people. It woke people up to evil. And oftentimes in life, especially if you've had it good, if life's been safe, and we want life to be safe and good, right? I don't want you to experience misery and hardship, although you will. But we want life to be good and safe. I don't want you ever to even see anything bad. But that's not realistic. And one day you pull up your cell phone and you watch somebody, even if you weren't a fan, somebody you knew, a young face, a young husband and father, and you watch him die on camera. You know some communist animal killed him. It may not make you believe in God right away, but you know there's a devil. And that's how it starts sometimes. Let's do some emails. Jesse, isn't it about time for Robert De Niro to hang it up? He's 9 months younger than Joe Biden. So on. Look, these guys who have fame and fortune, they never give it up. It's very, very rare for them to give it up. We talked about it many times before, not just with politicians, with other people, with musicians. It's a thing. People can't walk away from it. People with endless money. Think how much money Robert De Niro probably has. And I'm not saying that because money is what makes the man, right? Or money is important, but he doesn't have to do anything by now. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me that guy was worth $500 million. Chris, is that it? Of course, Jewish producer Chris is already looking it up. Surprise, surprise. $500 million. You are in your 80s, worth $500 million, and you still have to be political with everything you do. You can't stop hobbling on to every single podcast set and television set to rant and rave about Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. It's so weird. Just go do something you love. Don't you have grandkids? Great grandkids? A wife? I mean, he's a Hollywood actor, so he's probably on wife number 12, but don't you have anything in your life you enjoy? I find that so sad, and I guess it happens. I'm worried about it for me. I've talked to you about that before, and not that I'm like that now, but I see it. It's so prevalent in my industry as well. I don't understand it. Why don't you go away? You don't have to die behind the microphone. Retire and enjoy your family. Go make memories. But fame just becomes addicted. He has a 2-year-old kid, Chris? What? How, how old is Robert De Niro? He's 82 and he has a 2-year-old. He had a child at 80 years old. Look, I'm all about procreation. I think I'm a big, you know, families. How many times have I told you? Get married if you can, if that's your desire, and make babies. It's a good thing, but there's a cutoff time, I would think. Is there a cutoff time? Is that out of line? I feel like there's a cutoff time. Oracle, you just mentioned losing a buddy overseas. He drowned in Iraq River upside down in a tank. I did too. Corporal David Allen Bass, USMC. I wonder if it was the same incident. I believe he passed on Sunday, April 2nd, 2016. If you're right about that date, it was not the same date. My buddy, Lance Corporal Rodriguez was his name, he would have been 2004 because this was, I'm going to say 2 weeks into the invasion, and that may be wrong. It may have been a week. It was right after the invasion. It just, this goes back to, you don't appreciate the bravery of so many people who do so many different jobs in war. Being in a tank sounds lovely until you realize you can't see, until you realize the enemy undoubtedly has things that can hurt you inside of that tank, and that large steel box you consider to be armor can quickly hurt you. Show some respect to tankers, for sure. If you have family members who are tankers, like I said, submariners, it's a very, very brave job. And I realize you're never truly in control at any point in time in combat, but just the lack of control, it's a lot. It's a lot. Now, John Brennan gets referred to the DOJ today. How legit is that? Is Bolton going to prison? Is James Comey? Tish James. Let's talk to Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain always gives it to me straight on legal matters. Now everybody's going to hear from him. Who's going down and who's not? Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. And that we're listening to Material Girl tells me that Will Chamberlain, my friend, made the mistake of not choosing his intro music. And everybody knows the rules. If you don't choose, we find the worst song we can find on short notice. So joining me now, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, my friend Will Chamberlain. Will, you made a bad mistake, my friend.
Oh, you got it wrong. I actually said Material Girl because I couldn't think of a song off the top of my head, and I couldn't help but think. I was like, well, I just might as well get in front of this. Like, I know it's coming.
Oh, you know what? I actually respect it. All right. Set this aside. Let's deal with the DOJ and the mountain they have to climb to break up the communist cartel in this country, from the street animals to the funders of it. How big of a mountain is this, Will, and can they climb it?
It's extremely large, but it's surmountable. I think people were a little too impatient. I mean, and there's two big, you know, things that people need to understand about, like, how quickly can you prosecute people?
Mm-hmm.
The first is you need to have a prosecutorial case that survives a motion to dismiss. and a motion to dismiss perhaps in an unfriendly jurisdiction where you're going to have a decent number of Democratic grand jurors. We're already seeing that problem show up in D.C. when you try and prosecute somebody for something as simple as assaulting a law enforcement officer and you get no indictment from a Democrat grand jury. So you need to build a case. It has to be robust. The second problem is the lack of solid political appointments. And that's been a problem for, you know, it just takes a while. It has taken a while to get good people in place. And the problem is, even if you get your top U.S. attorney in place, you're still dealing with a career prosecutors, many of whom might be tied to the prior administration or cautious for whatever reason. That's the problem we were dealing with in the Eastern District of Virginia, where we actually had really good indictments ready to be brought against Comey and Letitia James. And instead of bringing them, you had career prosecutors, you know, essentially kicking the can down the road, trying to get in the way actively sometimes. So you had to get a new U.S. attorney in there to throw those people out. So those are the two big challenges that Pam Bondi and everybody else at DOJ are dealing with. But they're dealing with them successfully. I think it's taking a little longer than I think people would like. But you're already seeing, I mean, these are, the case against Comey is a very good one. The case against Letitia James is even better. The case against John Bolton is just airtight. I think he's going to jail. His conduct was absurd. And I think this is just the beginning. We're only 9 months in now, so we've still got a lot of time to get these indictments going. I mean, if you think about it, President Trump wasn't indicted until year three of the Biden presidency. We're well ahead of schedule.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Will Chamberlain. All right, Will, my concern is something you already brought up, where these cases are going to be tried, because we've seen it. You already mentioned it, but we've seen it time and time again across this country. It's very difficult to send a Democrat or Democrat adjacent person to prison if there's even a single Democrat on the jury, because they vote like the tribe of savages they are. How do we avoid that?
Well, at the Article 3 Project, we pushed these campaigns to get various people confirmed that we think were important. And one of them that kind of may have gone under the radar, because we're obviously pushing for the confirmation of Pegzeth and all the federal, the major cabinet agencies. But one of them that we pushed very hard for is a guy by the name of Jason Redding Quinones. He's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida now. He was recently confirmed, one of the last people confirmed before the House went on vacation a few months back. There's a reason for that, because there's now being a grand jury opened up in the Southern District of Florida to investigate all the lawfare that was conducted against Donald Trump. And because that was the site of the Mar-a-Lago raid in the Southern District of Florida in Palm Beach, that's part, whatever went into the Mar-a-Lago raid is likely part of the overall conspiracy. And so many of these people who thought maybe that their conduct would be indictable only in Washington, D.C., are actually going to find out that their conduct is being investigated in Jupiter, Florida, or Fort Pierce, Florida, rather, a place that is not 95% Democratic, instead a place that is majority Republican. So it's about being strategic about where we indict people. There's a reason also James Comey is getting charged in the Eastern District of Virginia, not in D.C. proper, because he made the foolish mistake of giving false testimony from his home in Virginia rather than coming into D.C. for his Senate testimony that was false. That means we can indict him in a place where, I mean, Eastern District of Virginia isn't great by any means. It's still, there's a decent number of Democrats, but it's much, much better than the District of Columbia.
Again, we're speaking with Will Chamberlain here. Okay, Will, you mentioned you think John Bolton is going to jail. Is Tish James going to jail? Is Comey going to jail? Brennan, of course, that we haven't seen, obviously, anything come down on him yet. Are any of these types actually going to see the inside of a prison cell, in your estimation?
I think, I guess I'd rank them in terms of probability, right? I think the strongest case that out there is the one against Bolton. I think it's both extremely strong and his conduct is just appalling. It seems like from day one when he entered the White House as national security advisor, he was immediately taking notes on what was classified information and sending it on an unclassified email server to his relations. I haven't read that seems to be the conduct here. That's appalling. Because the idea was he was going to put out a full 500-page book within 3 months of leaving office. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's because you're constantly recording it, and the note-taking and the sending of these notes is just it's so blatant, it's so brazen. This was a case that, whereas in Virginia we had this fight back on the James and Comey indictments, we had no pushback at all from career prosecutors in the District of Maryland who looked at this and were like, no, 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 no. So I think he's the most likely to go to jail. Next would be Letitia James. I think it's because her case is garden variety mortgage fraud. You know, it's not even a complicated charge here. This is just she did things that we federal government prosecutes all over the country routinely. She said that she lied under, you know, and attested that she was going to use her home as a second home, and she immediately put it up for rent. Well, okay, that's mortgage fraud if you get caught for it. It's really simple. You're getting a lower interest rate than you otherwise would have by lying. In fact, it's the thing she tried to prosecute President Trump for effectively. She was prosecuting him for, or rather going after his organization for supposedly undervaluing or overvaluing the Mar-a-Lago estate in order to get a more favorable loan terms. That was wrong. It was Trump was totally fine and reasonable in valuing it very highly. There's no property like Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, but that was her theory of the case. And now she's getting caught doing the same thing, but in this case, just for about like $19,000 in ill-gotten gains. It's incredibly stupid, and she'll probably go to jail for it. Comey, I think, is the hardest case, I think, because both it's in the Eastern District of Virginia, it's going to be tried around a lot of, you know, in an area that has a lot of people who would generally like James Comey. But by the same token, I mean, the guy really did lie to Congress about whether or not he was a leaker. That much seems pretty clear. So I think he should go to jail. I think he's the least likely to, though.
Will, let's shift gears here, if you don't mind, and talk about deportations. Obviously, it's not as fast as everybody would like because we've got 40, 50 million people to get out, but it's also not simple when you have all these blue areas dedicated to keeping all these foreigners in the country. Where are we at with it?
With deportations?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're making progress on this front. Again, this is one of those things that we stopped, you know, I think President Trump doesn't get enough credit for bringing illegal crossings down by like 99%. It's one mm-hmm. of actually the most impressive policy accomplishments I've seen in my lifetime, period. Like so quickly, so fast, just did it. Deportations is harder, obviously, because, you know, there's process that has to be done. And as a result of a number of court rulings, there's just a lot that has to be, you know, basically we need more immigration judges under current law. We need more enforcement. We're ramping up the ICE efficiency. I think the administration's doing a really good job. I think they're building the engine to increase deportation numbers consistently over time. So again, I'm also optimistic there, even though like maybe people would think that deportation numbers up till now haven't been good enough. I mean, people have to realize the machine has to be built to do this because without being able to change current law, which we really aren't able to do in terms of like what the actual substantive immigration law is and the substantive procedural protections that Congress has said these people are entitled to, we need the resources to put them through those procedures as quickly as possible and put as many people through those procedures as possible. That requires some time.
Will, final question for me. The National Guard going into cities, it's very appealing to people because they see what happened in D.C., but the National Guard has, I mean, Trump has authority over D.C. because the federal government owns it. He does not have that same authority in places like Chicago and L.A., so it has to be much more limited. Can these cities even be saved? I know you can turn down violent crime for a weekend because you brought in the National Guard, but that's not a permanent solution.
No, it's not. It's not a permanent solution. And really what the fight in Illinois and Portland is very different than the mm-hmm. fight in D.C., whereas in D.C. we're using it really to just stop crime, period. In Illinois and Portland, it's more to protect ICE officers while they're going around and doing their job because there's this effort to sort of thwart ICE with protesters and then kind of in a pincer movement have state authorities refuse to help ICE when they're under attack. So that's why federal forces are needed in those areas. I think it's not as simple as, you know, those will be the recalcitrant places, but I am very optimistic about what's going on in places like Memphis, you know, where you have blue cities and red states. Mm-hmm. The red state governors can come in and invite the National Guard in to do the law enforcement or invite just a massive federal presence there. And I think the National Guard will be part of that. And I think you'll see a lot of cities. Like I saw a really interesting clip where, you know, somebody was talking in D.C. and she was, you know, this black woman who probably wouldn't have dreamed of voting for Trump in her life was just saying, like, D.C. is safe for the first time in my adult life. I don't remember D.C. ever being safe. And I feel like I can walk the street now. It's a wonderful achievement. Trump deserves full credit for it. And we need to really expand it because it's the ultimate, you know. It's amazing how privileged rich people just think poor people should have to live with crime, that, you know, that only people who can afford it should be able to live in safe neighborhoods. I like to think of myself as a true populist in the sense that everybody of any race, of any economic class should be able to live in a safe neighborhood in the United States of America. Everybody should live in a crime-free place.
Will, you are the man. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much. I feel so much smarter. Don't shake your head, Chris. It's an accomplishment when I feel smarter because I already felt so smart. I'm smart enough to give my dog rough greens. I know that. I'm smart enough to know that dog food is brown because dog food is dead. They kill all the nutrients in it. It's gone. It's all cooked out. So we give our dogs empty calories, and we wonder why 50% of the dogs that live to 10 will die of cancer. 50%. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. Your dog will love it. Live nutrients, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, antioxidants. The difference in your dog's coat alone will let you know, wow, this stuff's amazing. Go to roughgreens.com or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. Use the promo code Jesse, and that gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember to email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, all are welcome. I'm going to get to a lot more of those. Man in Antifa-style mask arrested for opening fire on Trump supporters' home. These people are freaking lunatics. Absolute bonkers lunatics. And there's so many of them. It's not surprising, though, I guess. When you're the party that celebrates the murder of 60 million unborn babies, shooting at Trump supporters, is it a big step? It's really the inevitable step. By the way, have you given a preborn yet? Don't forget about preborn, please. Roe versus Wade getting overturned did not stop abortion in this country because it didn't change the culture. We have to change hearts to change the culture. And the only way to change the hearts of these women who want to abort their babies is by giving them an ultrasound. She has to hear the heartbeat. The ultrasound, I believe it is a gift from God. It has been the greatest weapon against abortion in this country. Preborn brings these women in, and they give it to her. And they give her love. And they give her support. And they introduce her to God. And if she needs help, if it's substance abuse, if she needs diapers, formula, Preborn doesn't toss her out on the street. You do that with Preborn. And it's tax deductible? Come on. Preborn.com/Jesse. You can give in someone's name if you'd like. I love that they do that. Preborn.com/Jesse. Give whatever you want. All right? Sponsored by Preborn. Jarhead, if the Democrat Party's in such trouble, why are they likely to win 210 congressional seats next year and may even take the House? For the party that represents communists, Hamas, and anarchists, that seems like a lot of support. What's really going on? Okay, there's a couple things going on. First, I don't know that they're going to take the House next year. They might. History says they will, but I don't know that's going to happen. But couple things. First, let's deal with the political shenanigans. You've heard all kinds of gripes recently from Democrats about redistricting, haven't you? You've heard it. It's come up. Remember that states have congressional districts. Each state draws its own congressional districts. What has been happening for years and years and years in this country is blue states, where they control the state government, they will draw their districts in the most ridiculous ways, and the entire purpose of that is to make sure there are no Republicans elected. Is it unfair and dirty? Of course, but that's friggin' life. Life is unfair and life is dirty. That's how they've been doing it. And for years and years and years, the pathetic, weak, low-T GOP refused to reciprocate. They were, well, we got to do it the right way while the communists are zoning us out. So already right now, as the House of Representatives stands right now, you need to understand we don't have a slight majority in the country just because we have a slight majority in the House of Representatives. They have redrawn the maps in state after state after state. Go look at Maryland. You want a good one? Look at the congressional districts in Maryland. It's insane. They have drawn the maps to ensure they are overrepresented in Congress. the number of Democrats in the House of Representatives is not reflective of the number of Democrats in the United States of America. It is not. They have found a way with dirty tactics to become overrepresented, which is why I'm glad the right is finally now fighting back to try to even out that representation. That is one. That's the best part of what I'm about to say. Here's the worst part. Good people have a hard time accepting that there are evil people everywhere. Everywhere. I'll bring this up again. I've brought it up before. I like to bring this up because I want women to do this. I want anyone with families to do this. Your state has a sex offender registry. You can go look it up right now on the internet. And what you can do is you can put in your specific zip code, not statewide, your zip code. I'm in Texas. I can pull it up right now on my phone. And I can put in my zip code. I encourage you to do this for a couple different reasons. One, it's important to know if the house five houses down has someone who has hurt children and you have children. That is important to know. And two, even if you don't have kids, even if you're not a woman, it is important from time to time to remind yourself that there are evil people walking among us. And they don't wear signs. You can't always tell. He looks like a nice guy. He drives a Ford. He's wearing khakis. He smiled and waved at me the other day. Said hi at the mailbox. Seems like a good dude. Yeah, he's not. This is not to make you paranoid or make you want to run out of your neighborhood, but we have to be reminded from time to time that just because your family situation is good, just because your town feels safe, just because there isn't a shooting every night, that there are monsters among us, all right? Monsters among us. Always remember that. Go from time to time. Do it once a year. Do it right now while you think of it. We're about to go to break anyway. We have a great third hour for you. We're going to talk to Tiana Lowe about economics, and I'm going to do some email stuff. And apparently we're beating up Columbia and all kinds of great stuff. But right now, during the break, go to your state sex offender registry and put in your information, your zip code. It'll wake you up. All right, great third hour. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.